Welcome into the Poetry Tavern, a place to discuss both reading and writing poetry, spotlighting new poems and ideas every week.
Hello all, and welcome into the Poetry Tavern. I'm your host Charlotte, as always, and this week we're going to be talking about, since it's our New Year's episode, cool poems from 2025. I wasn't sure what to do for the New Year's episode when I was first sort of like thinking about it, and I was originally going to like find poems that talk about New Year's, but I think with the end of the year, looking back on good poems from that given year is fun as well, because I think a lot of the time, as I've talked about in previous episodes, poetry often becomes a thing of like, oh, here's all these historic poems by these historic writers. And it's also important to think about, like, yeah, we have a lot of modern poets. We have poets who are writing in this day and age about things that impact people in this day and age. So yeah, I just thought, you know, let's pull from some poems from this year. I found a couple, and I've whittled it down to just two, so we'll get into that. Okay. So our first poem is Reading by Kathleen Ossip. There's something dead in the middle of my reading, but I am alive. Me in my little reading space, not serious texts, not brilliant, just well-thumbed, Meg Jo Beth, the surprise at the vicarage. There's a girl in my reading room. She lies on the floor wedged between the bed and the baseboard heating. She's 11. She likes Tudor biographies, fictional ones. Time bleeds out. I read, I seek magic so that I can become something. Not me, not a person, something else, still in my small place. A box of salt, a thin-boned philosopher, but I'm neither. The dead something calls to me. I don't weep tears. I don't reason appropriately. I read poems. I think, we have no need for these so perfectly crafted vessels. No more vases. After a careful purge, I moved houses with a box of 12 vases. The 11-year-old wants to murder them. The instant she learned to read rose, she lost the rose. There's a dead spot in the middle of me. Me so alive in my little space reading. I think there's something really magical about the childhood experience of reading, because it is like, you know, you have the imaginative capacity to transport yourself into these other worlds and imagine yourself in these character spaces, and you sort of enable yourself to connect with the emotions of these characters. And I think that becomes harder as you get older, to connect with these things, even if they are the exact same words, written in the exact same way, it becomes harder to form that connection. And I think poetry is really interesting to read as a kid, because often the poetry that children are asked to read is a lot simpler, and poetry otherwise is either clunky with difficult language or talks about emotions that maybe a child hadn't experienced yet. But as you sort of get older, you learn those feelings and you learn to connect with them. And so maybe there's like a, I don't know, I just think it's such an interesting, and to talk about the thing inside you that's dead, that used to be a little girl who reads books that like take her away into imaginative world, is so like evocative. I don't know, I just, it is something really like a sharp image in my brain. Our next poem is Dream Father by John Jeremiah Sullivan. I seem to have a dream about my father roughly once a year. Most of the time he acts pretty much like when he was alive, stands off to one side and maintains a running commentary, sucking in smoke as he laughs, then exhaling it as he speaks. It's hard for me to gauge his attitude towards life and death. At times he seems to ask, how can I be dead if we are here? But that may be more of a waking thought about the dream. My dreaming self is wiser than to have that kind of thought. My dream self is with him already and wants that to persist. There is a certain white ribbed sweater he wore all the time. He was always wearing it in these dreams, I only just realised. A cheap sweater from the huge department store at the mall. It started to pill as soon as he got it, but looked good on him. There we stand, in a field or in the corner at a strange party. He knows about life and feels better and feels for me that I am still here in it. But I wouldn't say he's bitter, although he regrets his own run. Honestly, these conversations only ever last about a minute. We never say goodbye or tie things off. But then, we didn't. This is so interesting. Like, it's a really interesting way to talk about grief. And, like, the narrator is imagining this version of their father informing them in dream world based on these memories and these, like, clear moments. And, like, the jumper he was always wearing and the way he used to speak and the way he used to interact with the world and the way we used to talk. And the last line hit me like a ton of bricks the first time I read it. Of like, we never say goodbye, tie things off, but then we didn't. Like, almost as if the dream is continuing on the idea that the narrator never got closure. And so even in dream, that closure doesn't come. So no matter how much this dream dad knows about the narrator's life or like understands or talks with them through the occurrings of their life, it doesn't mean that they actually got to say goodbye or tie things off. It's just, it's so bittersweet. It's a really bittersweet sort of poem. But yeah, that's all for this week's episode. Thank you guys for coming and listening to me talk about some of my favorite poems from the year so far. I say so far as if we're not already over the end, but it's almost sometimes hard to forget when the new year comes. Anyway, I will see you guys next week, all for an episode about semantic fields, because I really want to talk about semantic fields. I've been looking into semantic fields. I want to talk about semantic fields. So we're going to get into it. See you guys next week.